Our news in Washington. I'm Craig Windham. A second explosion has rocked the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear complex in Japan today, the blast destroying an outer building around reactor number 3 there. Nearly a dozen people were injured. NPR science correspondent Joe Palca joins us now. Joe, what do we know about this explosion and the status of the rest of that complex today?
Well, we think the explosion is from the same source as the other one, which was a release of hydrogen gas from the core of the reactor. Normally, there's a little bit of hydrogen gas, but in this compromised situation, the gas seems to be being produced, more of it's being produced, and it leaked into this outer building, which then exploded. There is one other reactor at the plant that is also the core is beginning to heat up because cooling has been compromised, and of course, there might be concerns that there would be an explosion there as well.
So what do we know about the risks of radiation release from this complex now?
Well, it depends on the integrity of the core, of the containment vessels that are surrounding the core. There have been reports of radioactive particles coming off of the reactor, coming out of these reactors. So it's obviously something is leaking, and the question will be how much and for how long.
So the Japanese officials seem to be downplaying the radiation risk, but we see that the U.S. Navy is moving one of its aircraft carriers in waters off Japan away after detecting some low levels of radiation 100 miles offshore.
Right. Well, there is some radiation being released, that's for sure. But I think the point being, if it's being detected out at sea, that's a relief for people in Japan because the winds are carrying it away from the island and away from populations.
And following the earthquake last week, Joe, what's the likelihood of another major aftershock following the quake?
Well, predicting earthquakes is a risky business, but there is the number 70% being kicked around as the possibility of yet another serious aftershock. There have been some smaller ones already.
Thanks, Joe. That's NPR's Joe Palca in Washington. 2,000 bodies have reportedly been found on the shores of Miyagi Prefecture in Japan. The Kyoto News Service quotes the police chief there as saying he expects the death toll in that province alone to reach 10,000. Forces loyal to Libya's leader Muammar Gaddafi are on the attack against rebel forces. NPR's Peter Kenyon in Benghazi reports Gaddafi's forces are closing in on opposition-held areas in the eastern part of the country.
Former Interior Minister Abdel Fattah Yunus, now a rebel officer, said the rebels had fallen back to be able to better defend Ajdabiya, the last city between pro-Gaddafi forces and the rebel headquarters in Benghazi. State television quoted army officials as saying armed gangs had been cleaned out of Brega and the military was moving east. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was due to meet with rebel officials in Paris today, and NATO may soon revisit the issue of a no-fly zone over Libya. There's a growing feeling here, however, that international help won't come in time to prevent this rebellion from being crushed. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Benghazi.
This is NPR News from Washington. A suicide attack on an army recruitment center in Afghanistan has killed more than 30 people and wounded dozens of others. The attack occurred in Kunduz province, which has been a focus of insurgent activity in recent weeks. At least 10 Iraqi soldiers are dead and nearly 30 others wounded in a suicide attack in the eastern part of Iraq today. The attacker detonated a booby-trapped car outside an army battalion headquarters. The blast brought down a building, crushing those who were inside. At offices all over the country today, people will be filling in their brackets for the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which opens later this week in Dayton, Ohio. Greg Eklund reports the field has been expanded this year from 65 teams to 68.
Kansas, one of the four number one seeds in the tournament with a 32-2 record, beat Colorado twice this season in the Big 12 Conference. But Jayhawks coach Bill Self was shocked at Colorado's exclusion despite a 21-13 record.
Everybody's going to have a gripe somebody's going to have a gripe every year, no regardless of the, but I would say from my standpoint, and I'm a little biased, I think Colorado has reason probably gripe as much as anybody.
Among the other notable teams left out are Alabama and Virginia Tech. Besides Kansas, the other number one seeds are Ohio State, Pittsburgh, and the defending champion Duke Blue Devils. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund in Lawrence, Kansas.
A new study finds that about 40% of new fathers who have symptoms of depression spank their one-year-old children, compared to just 13% of fathers who weren't depressed. The lead author of the study says depression among fathers is strongly linked to unemployment rates, which are higher now than they were a decade ago. The study is published in the journal Pediatrics. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR.